This is the RX Power Hour with your hosts, Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell.
Welcome to the RX Power Hour. I'm your host, Nathan Payton, and I'm joined by my co-host, ASC Pro Strongman, Ryan Bracewell. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Just started watching the Monday Night Football game, you know, checking that out a little bit before the show, and, you know, hoping my Texans can pull it out.
Yeah, I've got to make sure we stomp the Colts.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Ryan, I know that you and I had basically talked, and with this being our first show, in essence, we want to let our listeners know the concept behind RXPH before we bring on our first guest. You know, with the show, we'll be discussing various training concepts, diet, supplementation, gear, etc., as it pertains to strength sports. We're not just talking about a show for strongman powerlifting, and as you and I talked, you know, we're going to make sure that this is definitely a show with useful information for anybody who's looking to improve their strength and size through just good old-fashioned ass-busting. Anyone looking to achieve not only the strength gains, but strength knowledge, this is definitely the show for you. Our weekly guests are going to be some of the strongest people on the planet from various sports, not just strongman or powerlifting, football, UFC, various strength and conditioning coaches, you name it. If they've achieved the impossible, you're likely to hear them on the show. I'd also like to add, though, real quick, that nobody's going to be talking about squats on medicine balls or the latest in disco spin classes at the big gym. You got the wrong show. Now, we may talk about Larissa Race, but that's going to be for our testosterone-boosting segment of the show. Now, for those who don't know me, I'm Nathan Payton, a nutritionist and trainer who specializes in strength sports, specifically using nutrition as a performance enhancer. My recommendations are going to be based on real-world experience and application. This is not going to be a show where we're going to break out the latest scientific journals and dissect the latest findings of what's popped up in a petri dish somewhere in a lab. You know, and we're not really concerned about what a computer had to say about concentric motions either. We're specifically going to be talking about the diet and training of people who are just like you, those that wake up every day and bust their ass. This is a blue-collar show, folks. It's for hardworking people like Ryan and myself. The only thing we need you to basically bring with you each week when you tune in is your open mind.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, man. You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, I'm all for studies. You know, I read the NSCA, you know, journals every month, you know, and I like to learn the newest things. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't have to be hard like that. It's lifting weights. You know, it's been around for thousands of years, whether it was lifting up stones, lifting barbells. You know, and I've always used the philosophy of keep it simple, stupid. You know, that doesn't mean be dumb, but that means don't overcomplicate it. And that's what a lot of guys online are doing. You know, you see them in every forum, whether it be RX or whatever, you know, they're talking about the West Side style and literally spending hours trying to figure it out when they could be in the gym lifting, getting stronger, getting better, you know. And for me personally, the simple, stupid method has worked. You know, I mean, I've made great gains just by working hard and doing the nutrition, you know, and doing the things you know need to be done and not sitting there worrying about every little detail.
Oh, exactly. I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's somebody somewhere right now lifting a calf over a fence on a farm, you know, trying to get bigger and trying to get stronger, as opposed to somebody who's hooked up, you know, to 10 different computers at once and getting analyzed in every different way. Not that that doesn't have merit. But at the same time, getting stronger is just that, folks, getting stronger.
Yeah, definitely, man. And, you know, hopefully I'll be doing some of that later tonight after the show. I'll be hitting the gym, doing another lower body workout. So, but, you know, what we're going to do now is, you know, we'll go to our break, but we're going to come back with our first guest, three-time World Strongest Man competitor, Travis Ortmeier.
This is the RX Power Hour. Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Species SpeciesNutrition.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Now back to the RX Power Hour.
All right, and we're back from our break, and we have a three-time World Strongest Man competitor, Arnold Strongman competitor, and multiple world record holder, Travis Sortmile, on the line. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing good, Travis.
Pretty good. We were wanting you on tonight, you know, talking about several things, some of your world's experience this year, some of the things going on with your family, and then towards the end, you know, we'll start going over that Ort Magnuson routine, or I don't know, or should I call it Magnuson Ortmeyer routine? I mean, who's I don't know.
I just abbreviated the Ort Mag. Sounds good.
You know, you did pretty good this year at World, and I know you were.
Well, I did pretty good until I broke my friggin' ankle, but yeah, you know, I was just happy, yet it was pretty much the worst experience of my life. You know, you see the you see gold, and then it's just kind of taken from you.
Gotcha. Now, before we get into what actually happened to your ankle, we wanted to go over, you know, briefly kind of go over what you had done to prep for this show, to go from where you had finished last year, fifth, to where, you know, you feel you were in line to win, you know, had your best events, you know, coming up before you got hurt. What
yeah.
did you do differently to get ready for this year's Worlds?
Well, you know, first off, I dropped a lot of body weight, you know. Nathan's diet program really leaned me out, and I've got to say, you know, not a shameless plug or anything, but since I've been working with him, my endurance, that is the biggest change in my body. You know, I used to puke after every event, or at least once at every show I ever did, and I've done like 85 shows. And, you know, once I started, like, eating clean, it's the simple stuff that you know, you should know, but you need someone to tell you. And I started eating clean and consistently and maintaining a consistent day-in, day-out intake of that quality food. And I've turned into a machine. I just felt better. You know, when I did a sick medley, I was obviously tired, but I didn't feel like I was going to die, and I didn't throw up, and, you know, it was just so much different with the training, with a good diet.
Just essentially in better shape, but without actually adding more cardio.
You know what? I didn't add any cardio to it. However, I'll take that back just a little bit. Preparing for the U.S. Nationals, there was nothing but cardio. I mean, it was one medley after another, then a clean and press for reps, then a deadlift for reps, then stone over bar for reps, then stones on the run. It's like nothing but reps. There was no heavy, heavy max events. So I had to start to gear myself up into shape just cardiovascularly to get into that show. And then Worlds, you know, the last event of the qualifiers was a keg load medley, which we did in Nationals. And then the first event in the finals was a sack load medley, and we also did that in Nationals. So I was really geared up and ready for it. And it just fell into place for me this year.
Well, and then, Travis, when it comes to that, I mean, people that know how hard you work. So you make your own chips fall into place. I don't think anybody would ever count as far as on that with you. I mean, you're definitely a guy who takes everything into your own hands. And that's what's kind of interesting as far as the aspect of how you prep for, you know, Worlds and things along those lines. You know, I mean, not only did you have, like you said, kind of the situation that you had there, but you also had to encounter, you know, the sea level that you and I spoke of kind of as far as the entire plan of the thing. Once you let me know it was in South Africa, everything changed too. And I don't think people really realize what you guys go through as athletes, not only just on a daily training basis or a regular competition basis, but now you add in 5,000-6,000 feet above sea level to the equation of what you guys do.
That was it definitely shocks you the first couple of days you're there. You know, you try to climb a flight of stairs, and I mean, literally in Houston, we live at sea level. I think this area right here is about 200 feet above sea level, and that's the high part. So, you know, going from that to 5,000 or 6,000 feet, it's like you've got to be kidding me. It's it was just unreal, but. You know, I dropped so much body weight this year that my heart was so much more efficient in pumping blood. And I also believe that dropping all that body fat, you know, I didn't insulate and keep in all the extra heat. And obviously carrying around the extra mass made my body and my heart work harder. I think just, you know, the chips fell into place, you know, with just the way things happened this year.
Now, when you say you keep mentioning dropping all this body fat and everything, like what kind of weight difference are we talking about here?
Well, man, my absolute heaviest last year was 341 pounds, 155 kilos. I competed at Worlds at about, you know, 330, 327, somewhere around there. But this year I came into Worlds. Let's see. In training, I had finally bumped up to 300 pounds again, but of course, you know, the next day that was back down to 292. So I remember stepping on the scale right before the finals, you know, when we were doing our familiarization, and the scale said 127 kilos, which is about 280 pounds. So, I mean, you think about it, that's pounds I've dropped.
Right,
and I'm stronger, faster, I feel better than I've ever felt in my life.
And despite being outweighed in many cases by your fellow competitors by 100, 120 pounds.
Oh, yeah, I was a tall, skinny guy. Yeah, absolutely.
The skinny guy that always makes me look small when we compete against each other.
Ah, you're coming up. Coming up. I've had a few more years in this than you. And no way in hell am I ever going to let you get bigger than me and beat me. So let's just put it that way. Yeah, national radio, I've said it, that's right.
The pupil always overtakes the master at one point. That's just the way it works.
You know what? I'll be a proud papa if you do. Just like when I beat Ken
master,
Glassman. He was my mentor. He taught me everything I knew to get into strongman. And then in my very first pro competition, Kazmaier happened to be the MC. And I remember walking out there, and he goes, Travis, watch him on the stones. He's pretty good. And I was just like, oh, my God. And then by the end of it, it was Travis Ormeyer this, blah, blah, blah. He was so happy. And then Jim Glassman was there as well, and I just handed it to him, you know. And he was... You know, mixed feelings. He was mad that he got beat, but he was so proud that it was me that beat him. So, you know, the same thing goes with you, bud. You know, I tutor, you know, I bring you up and tell you what I know, and if you beat me, you know, I'll be pissed off, of course, but couldn't have happened to a better guy. You know what I mean?
Appreciate it.
So that's what makes.
We'll get blue back to the
last compliment I ever give you. That's that.
Yeah, there you go. so you have.
And that's
really
what makes strongman so unique, really.
Yep, very much.
What you guys are going through. I mean, that's
It's one of the few.
You mean as far as the camaraderie?
Yeah, the camaraderie. I mean, it sets strongman completely unto itself. The information sharing and the growth that's provided within its own community. I mean, it's
you
the only
what?
Sport that I know of that purposely tries to help
best.
One another.
If you're head-to-head with somebody in an event, and you finish the event before the other guy, you know, when you're starting out, you are the biggest rivals ever. When you're finished, you become that other guy's biggest fan. And that's what I absolutely love about this sport. The sportsmanship is unparalleled. You cannot find it anywhere else. It's just unreal of the things that the guys will do to go through for each other. You know, and I think that part of it is, you know, it's an inside brotherhood. You know, if you're crazy enough to do it and I'm crazy enough to do it, then we have a mutual respect for each other. I think that's where it comes from, but yeah.
So, Travis, we were, you know, just going to get back on the Worlds, you know, because I know everybody's kind of interested in actually what happened to you. You know, you had a great prep. You won U.S. Nationals, you know, and then you head off to Worlds in great shape, get to the finals, and then disaster. So, you know, for the people who haven't, you know, heard already, you know, what exactly happened to you?
Well, disaster is kind of a, you know, a bit of an understatement. I mean, it was heartbreaking. It was just the most god-awful, worst feeling I've ever had. You know, first off, the pain sucked, of course, but to watch it all just be fluxed away like that was, my leg hurt, and then my heart hurt as well. It was absolutely horrendous. It was horrible. So what happened was, I was doing a 375 log, and it's a 10-foot wooden log, so it's a little cumbersome to balance. So, and in addition to the platform being built on sand and sloping backwards, and, you know, making it even harder to get your feet under you. But I do what I normally do. You know, I have a tendency to throw my first rep up, and it goes a little forward. And it just builds up my trip. It just builds up my, you know, the weight. I know sometimes when I bring it back to my shoulders, I'm like, oh my God, that felt just easy. So all I got to do is just ram it up and back over my head. And I was getting ready to do that, and I took a sidestep, and my foot got caught between a little gap in the mats, and you know, you got a 10-foot log, 375 pounds plus my own body weight, and I couldn't go anywhere. There was nowhere to go, so the weakest link in the chain broke. And that weakest link just happened to be my ankle. Thankfully, you know, I was flexible enough and quick enough, I got out of the way of the log, because that would have just added insult to injury. What happened was I had a dislocation of the fibula, and the sound that made, my God, that was horrendous. That was awful. It was, I could feel it pull out and then just slam back in. I mean, bone on bone, just like somebody hit me with a bat. And then, of course, when you roll your ankle, you feel, you know, all the tendons and ligaments light up, and I even felt, the one that really hurt was one of the peroneal tendons. It hurt clear up into the side of my knee. And that's the one that originates at the side of the knee and comes down around behind that ankle bump and into the side of the foot. And, yeah, it just, that was so painful. It was the most worst feeling I've ever had, with the possible exception of the deadlift at the Arnold in 2007.
Now, did you continue to compete after you injured your ankle, or did you attempt to?
Well, yeah, we had a whole nother day, and I was still, even with that horrendous fall, I was still only like 3 or 4 points out of first. And, you know, I was first going into that event. If I'd have gotten that log, I would have been second day with my 3 best events. So, you know, I was only a couple points back. I was like 3 or 4 points back. And the next closest guy was like 6 or 8 points. So it was basically a 4-man race. And I really just wanted to shoot a bunch of Novocaine or Lidocaine or something into my foot and forget about it. But no, of course not. You know, the best thing they had for me was acetaminophen. That was, yeah.
but they taped it really well, and we started out with a frame carry. And I just remember picking the frame up. It was 360 kilos, which is about 800 pounds. And, I mean, I picked it up and just remember thinking to myself, you've got to be kidding me. This is just stupid. This is so light. This is so insulting. And basically, I had to hobble. I peg-legged my left foot, took a big step with my right, peg-legged with my left foot. And, I mean, you could see, you can see it clearly when you watch the video of it. It's ugly. But I dropped it, and I re-gripped. I got even more angry with it. I picked it up, dropped it, re-gripped, and that's when I went absolutely berserk and carried it another 10 feet for ninth place, not 10th place. So I beat somebody. And whoever that somebody is, you know, being beat by a cripple, that can't feel good. You know, I don't want to throw that out there, but hey, I mean. And hey, I almost beat Pound Cake, too. If I'd have realized I only needed five more steps, I would have had Pound Cake, too. And man, that's frustrating because we have our own little American rivalry. You know, it's, you know, we're great friends, but you know, always want to beat each other and push each other to the limit. So, you know, they taped it up really well, and I did what I could, and it was just frustrating not to be able to do what I knew I could do, because when I picked that frame up, I knew if I had two good legs, nobody would beat me. And the same with the deadlift. I deadlifted the, it was what, 357 kilos or 56 kilos, something like that. It was, you know, 785 pounds roughly, car deadlift for reps. And I was doing it with 1.5 legs. I could feel it. I blew through 8 reps in like 30, 35 seconds. I tried for the ninth, got it to the bottom of my knees, and said, what the hell, you know, just drive with your left foot, just suck it up and do it. And as soon as I did that, well, a bolt of lightning, that pain came through, and I dropped the bar. And I remember them screaming, 40 seconds to go, and I'm just sitting here thinking, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I've got 40 seconds left. I've got 8 reps. I really should have had the ninth, but 11-1, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't give a damn who you are or what you think. I would have won that event, too.
And Travis, how exactly do you drive? I mean, how do you drive a deadlift? How do you drive a deadlift up? You know, I mean, what, like, when you've got one leg, how in the world are you driving your force through the ground to get that car deadlift up? It's just incredible.
Man, you got both feet on the ground. So, you know, you're doing a little something with the left leg, but you can feel it laying. You can feel it holding up. It didn't want to push. So the hamstrings wouldn't fire, the quads wouldn't fire.
Right.
And you know how the body reacts. You know, when it wants to save something, it just turns everything off. And so that's what it did. And I can tell you right now, my right hamstring was sore as hell from that. hey, you got to do what you got to do. It was world's strongest man. You got to suck it up and keep moving.
Now, the experience wasn't all bad. I know I've seen, you know, a lot of pictures online of, you know, you with your wife and your son, who's, you know, about to turn one. You know, how was it having
the
family there and your newborn and everything? Not newborn, but, you know, youngin'.
What's that?
I was saying, you know, how was it just having your kid there and your wife and your dad? You know, I know everybody flew out. You know, was it nice having everybody there?
Well, I had Brian Vickers, one of my training partners. He decided he wanted to come out. And, you know, my wife and my son were absolute godsend. The inspiration. My wife You know, she's my rock. And, well, having Brian there carry me out of the arena, and he could carry my bag for me and give me a bus and all that stuff. And just seeing the I wasn't going to let him down, you know, because he loves us. You see that in all the other fans' faces, and you're just not going to let him down. I've got to put everything I've got out. I'm not going to drop. You know, these guys came out to see us, and, you know, we don't have a huge following, but the following we do have is very loyal, and it means a lot to me. So I want to give back. I want to do something for them. And, you know, if it means fighting with one broken foot, then, hell, I do what I got to do.
Well, and Travis, on that, not even necessarily fighting your battles there with one foot, but I understand you also had to do a little internal fighting there with some sort of incident that happened with you and your son Misha there in the athletes area. You want to talk about that one, or how's that going?
Oh, man, you know, these people at World's Strongest Man need to lighten up. I'm just going to say that. The so-called safety coordinator who has never put on a weight in his life, you can obviously tell, is trying to tell me how to, you know, where to stand and not to stand here, and you shouldn't be here, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, dude, I've been lifting weights for 18 years. I know the scenery. I've been competing with these guys for about 7 years. It's like, just stay out of my face. So when they came up to me, I had two people, a man and a woman, come up to me and telling me, well, not telling me, barking at me, you need to get out of here. No, you have to get out of here. Get, blah, 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 blah. And I said, no, because, you know, Mikhail Kokhlaev, my best friend that I named my son after, he was about to have a pivotal event. It was the block press and the qualifiers. And so I brought little Misha over there to support him, you know, in the athlete area. And those guys surrounded me, started kind of, they weren't touching me at first. They were just yelling and telling me to get the heck back. And, you know, I was trying to politely say, Misha's here for Misha. Little Misha's here for big Misha. And you just got to deal with it. It'll be over in 75 seconds. You know, and they weren't having it. So they started to kind of open their arms out and just, you know, I felt like cattle being pushed down a chute. You know, it was really, really irritating. And, you know, I could handle that. You know, when I realized they were really serious about it, I started walking away. But I looked down the path about, and there were 10 of the biggest, strongest, freakiest men on earth, and they were all in their zone. And they're, you know, when you're in your zone, you bump people. You don't mean to, but I wasn't going to take the chance of one of them bumping me when I have a little baby in my arms, knocking him on the floor.
No kidding.
And these people didn't see that, you know, so I turned around and I told them that. And then they just got more forceful and felt the hand touch me. And never to this day have I felt the true father instinct of, you know, you harm my kid, I will basically kill you. I turned around and I said a few things that, well, choice words, let's put it that way. They shut up, and I made my way out the way I wanted to make my way out. And I remember one of them asking Louis-Philippe Jean that, please stick your arm out and just kind of shove him back. And Louis told me later, he said that. He goes, and I say, no. That man is crazy, you know. It's like, yeah, you picked the right way to go. But these people, they need to lighten up. They really do. And, you know, just things like that. You know, our friends and family to be able to come up closer And I certainly didn't want my son sitting out in the blazing South African sun, you know, for God knows how long, because they can't set up the cameras and whatever BS they have to do. So, you know, it's just, I was trying to take care of him, and hey, I flipped the switch and felt that fatherly instinct, and yeah, snapped on him. You know, it was, well, basically, I'll tell you, I said, I don't give a shit if you're a midget or a woman, I will knock the shit out of you if you touch me with my son again. Sorry if that's a little too profane, but, you know, word for word, it was pretty much along those lines, and...
there's nothing profane about that, Travis. You were just declaring you're an equal opportunity destroyer at that point.
You know, it's really weird when you're holding your son. You become a different person. And, you know, if anybody hurts him, they're dead. Anybody hurts me, I can take that. You know, and I remember when he was born in the hospital. You know, a lot of people, they say, oh, it's when they grab your finger, you can feel that bolt of lightning straight into your heart. It wasn't that for me. It was when he first opened his eyes and he smiled. He saw Daddy. I was the first person on this earth that he saw. And he smiled, and he smiled ever since. And if somebody wipes that smile off his face, God help that person. Because they'll probably end up in my backyard about 4 or 5 feet underground.
Well, and you're grooming him right, too. I believe he was a Hulk for Halloween, wasn't he?
He was.
See, there you go. God. You're grooming him right.
Incredible Hulk, and I set up a 3-stone Atlas Stone series form. I've got a 4.4 pounder, a 6.6, and a 10 pound medicine ball with some boxes and upside down trash cans. He loaded them all. He's not even a year old, and he's loaded a 10 pound medicine ball. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, that and his, he's got a little cart that's weighing over 60 pounds now. He just pushes that around the house like it's nothing. I pick it up and try and turn it around, you know, once he hits one ball and goes to the next. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. This kid is an absolute freak. You know, you got to help the strongman world in 20, 25 years.
That's amazing.
It's going to be interesting.
Well, and Travis, you went through all that adversity. I mean, with your own injury at Worlds, the altercation, if you will, you know, also involving your son, Misha. And then when you came back home, I don't even know how to lead the story off, you know, because it's so unbelievable, the sequence of events that happened over a short several week span there. You want to go over your wife's injury?
No, man. You know, I'll give you a little background information. 5 days before the Arnold in 2009, we were taking a left. A woman ran a red light and hit our car, totaled it. This is 5 days out from one of the heaviest shows in the world. And then we were trying to buy a house. We were denied on that because Bank of America's got their thumb up their asses and they're stupid. And, you know, basically, a bunch of crap went wrong. And now this year, it was late summer that we basically had the same thing happen. You know, I got injured at Worlds. I could hardly walk. And then I get home. A week later, maybe a week and a half, Lucy is driving home from a personal training appointment. She had an 8 to 9 appointment at night. And some guy comes around the corner, you know, it was a sharp turn in the road, you know, about a 90-degree turn, but he took it at about 70, 75 miles an hour, and he was swerving all over the place, and then he smacked her head-on. And, you know, thank God my wife went to a Formula One racing school and knows how to crash, because God knows what would have happened if she had held the steering wheel, stuck her feet out. She'd have shattered legs, broken arms. She just curls up in a ball and just takes it. You know, you can't do anything with the 3,000-pound car and all that momentum. You know, so she took it, and
she basically kind of walked away, but it's gotten to the point now that she's going to need knee surgery, and that's...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And her head is still, you know, she had a really bad concussion, and this drunk driver just... You know, he's so lucky that there are police and firemen. I think the paramedics were about to show up. Because if I had come up on that scene, watching him move to his passenger seat, trying to claim that he wasn't driving, I would have dragged him out of there and I don't even want to say, because I don't even want him out there. Yeah, but you get the picture.
No,
thank God there were police around. Because I was a little upset, and my wife, she was a little beat up. And, you know, when it rains, it pours. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, well, we've got a lawyer, and we're trying to sort this out. But I did, this is some good news, I did just buy her a Nitro, Dodge Nitro RT. And,
nice.
Because she didn't want something low to the ground. She's, you know, she's still got some issues with that. She's a little scared driving low. So we got an SUV, and this Nitro is actually pretty nice. You know, the RT is the line Nitro, and it's got everything. It's pretty hot.
Cool. Well, to kind of get off something that's, you know, I guess you'd call it a negative, but, you know, hopefully, you know, it sounds like everything's going to end up positive.
We hope. You know, with these kind of wrecks, I've talked to a lot of people, and it's not now that you feel the impact, you feel the injuries. It's 10, 20 years down the road from now that you really start to notice these injuries.
Especially with a concussion. That's absolute.
For us, there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel. We're always looking for that. You know, we're optimistic, and there's one thing I've got to say, and that's I really have to give a shout-out to all the fans that have given us their support and really helped us through this tough time. You know, the Strongman fans, Strongman community, I'm telling you, it's a tight-knit group, and you don't find that anywhere else. And my wife and I are extremely grateful for, you know, the offers of help, and, you know, anybody that says that, what can I do, how can I help, anything like that, it's just, it means a lot, and, you know, that's all I really want to say. I just want to thank all you guys, everybody out there.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I know you had a lot of support during, you know, your time of need and everything, and, you know, I'm sure everybody's glad that everything's coming back together for you. You know, one thing I know a lot of your fans...
Slowly but surely, anyway.
Yeah, definitely. But I know a lot of your fans, because I read your Q&As on different websites and things like that. The one thing that you get tons of questions on, and we felt it'd be a good topic for us to discuss, you could go into some of these in-depth answers, is, you know, they want to know about the Ortmeier-Magnuson routine. You know, and one of the first things I was wanting to talk to you about is, you know, how did it get started? You know, is it your routine? Is it Benny's routine? You know, and what transpired? How did this happen?
Well, this dates back to when I first met my wife, and I stayed with her for a month in England. Her best friend is Gemma Taylor, who has now married Benedict Magnuson. So he was staying at her house, and then Lucy and I drove up there and stayed the weekend and trained with them. Well, I trained with them. Lucy kind of drove back and forth because she had her job, her flight attendant job at the time. And so anyway, I was staying with them, and I just got to talking with Benny and, you know, about his deadlifts and what he does. And he never wrote anything down, but I've got to give a little shout-out to Stefan Solberg-Peterson, because he is the guy who found the key, basically. He wrote all the workouts down. He figured out the percentages. He figured out the formula that Benny was doing. Benny just goes by feel. But Stefan is much more calculated in his training and approach. So he figured it out. And Benny told me this routine. And since then, you know, there's a few things I didn't like about it. And if you are only training to increase your deadlift and maybe, you know, squat and bench, the three things, powerlifting moves, then it's an absolute great way of doing it. But for strongman, we have, you know, 30 to 35 events that we have to train. So I had to modify it just a little bit. But it is a very effective routine that I put together. And, you know, I just call it the OrbMag for short, but it's the best routine I've ever done, basically. And when I first started really getting into it, let's see, I went from my first workout, you know, the 90%, I was in the 700s. I did this workout to break 800 pounds for my first time ever, and I absolutely crushed 800 pounds in a powerlifting meet with rules and everything. You know, some of the guys have seen that YouTube video. Clean form, you know, no straps, no nothing, just a suit, belt, and chalk on the hands. And, you know, I'm going to say it's for all ages as well. You know, I don't care who you are. My father, at 61 years old, and he's 64 now, or 62 years old, rather, I'm sorry. He really, really got into this program, and in about 8 or 9 weeks, he put 70 pounds on his deadlift. I mean, that's a huge increase for a geriatric man.
We'll love that.
I hope he's listening to that one, a sextogenarian.
Now, Travis, how have you changed that routine? I know that you touched upon, you know, kind of the creation of it, but you also modified it more for your needs. You know, how exactly have you changed it?
Well, here's the basic outline that I do. You know, Benny had it going every week, week in, week out, and he always did the four sets of four at 70, a set at 80. In his word, it was a set, two sets at 80 or 90 pounds, or 90% of your projected max. So I took out the "or" and I made it a little bit more concrete. So what I've done is in the first week, I do a three-week cycle of it. I take a projected max on the deadlift, and I calculate 70% and do four sets of four of that. Now, people ask me, should you use belts, straps, whatever? You know, I do the first couple sets. Some I do with a belt, some I do without a belt, some I do, you know, with straps, without straps. Some I do reset each rep, some I do touch and go. You've got four sets to play with it. I mean, why not? Just learn all the forms, because there's no right way or wrong way to train for deadlifts. So learn as many forms as you can. It's like I always say, you got to have three or four techniques for every event that you're going to do, because you never know what's going to happen. So anyway, you do your four sets of four at 70% of your projected max, and in the first week you do two sets of two reps at 80%. And those I generally try to do reset. Stop, reset, pull again. And if you need straps at that point, put straps on. I try not to use straps at that point. Sometimes I'll put a suit on. And usually I don't put the suit on for the first week. I don't get into that. I'll pull over the two sets of two. And then I'll drop back down to the 70%. And try and do touch and go eight or more reps. And if I can do that, then I move up 10 pounds the next week. So I do my 70%. This is week two. I do my 70% plus 10 pounds for four sets of four. Then I do one set of 80% plus 10 pounds. And I usually put my suit on there, because you need a set to feed into your suit before you get to a heavier set. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'll do my one set at 80, two reps, and then I go to the 90%, and I'll do one set of two there. Sometimes touch and go, sometimes I'll reset it. Usually I try to reset it, but if it's real heavy and it's, you know, farther into the routine, I'll have to touch and go. Because you really just want to get all your reps. And then you go back down to 70% and go for eight or more again. And then you have the option of standing on a block, a 5-inch block, so that the bar is just above your toes. And you're going to drop the weight a little bit. And you try and pull, you know, 8 to 10 reps with, usually with a belt and no straps. And that's it, just raw. And the way you pull off a block, I mean, it changes everything, but it makes your back strong.
Travis, do you always do a deficit pull for that last set of, you know, up to 8 reps? Or do you ever rotate in, say, like rack pulls, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, like where you put weights on blocks, you know, rather than you being on blocks?
When I do this routine, I don't like to do a whole lot of rack pulls because there's so much stress on your back. And rack pulls, I've noticed rack pulls give me a little bit of a backache because of the extra stress. There's a different routine that I have where I incorporate rack pulls a lot more frequently. So, you know, because you use so much weight with rack pulls. And anyway, so on to the third week. You know, hopefully you've gotten your 8 or more reps for the 70%. You haven't missed a rep in the whole program. If you miss a rep in the whole program, you don't move up. You do it again. So third week, you hit everything. You do your 70% plus 20 pounds for 4 sets of 4. Then 80% plus 20 pounds for set of 2 with a suit on. And then 90% plus 20 pounds for 2. And then the back off set, 70% for 8 to 10 reps. And that's when I really try to set up on a block, because you're not going to deadlift the next week. So your back will have a little extra time to heal. And one of the other good things I like about the block is it really teaches you how to drop your butt, arch your back, and get your quads involved in a deadlift.
No, absolutely.
And the more muscle groups you can get in a deadlift, the absolute better it gets. You know, just watch Misha. Misha Kokhlaev is, that's basically who I modeled my deadlift form after. A lot of guys have noticed that. You know?
Do you notice any,
you know, I don't bend over, have a rounded back, you know, like Konstantinov's. I know it works for him. He keeps his low back tight, but that's just not my style. So, you know, you get all those reps, and then take the next week and just do squats, or what? Sometimes, depending on how good I'm feeling, I like doing partial squats. I'll bottom position partial squats, real heavy, because that hits your back and the obliques and some of those supporting muscles that really help to deadlift a lot. But I know every now and then you've got to go and test and see where you're at. For me personally, I usually end up doing something like that at competition, because I'm the crazy American who competes more than any two other Americans combined. So I don't ever get a chance to just sit in the gym, have fun, and max out and do crap like that. But you want to figure out where you are, how much you've come up, and adjust your percentages accordingly.
Very cool.
I've run this program, Travis, for 12 weeks.
Travis, do you ever see any common mistakes that people are doing when they're imitating your routine, or guys that you train with that are trying to use your routine?
You know, there's a few. On the back off set, when I say 8 or more, I see people doing like 15 to 20. It's like, No, just stop at 10. Stop at 10 or 11. You know, you don't need to kill yourself. And a lot of people, they put their projected max way, way too high.
So that'll keep off the routine right there.
Well, yeah, because by the second week, I know the routine, the weights definitely start to jump up. So yeah, if you set your goal 100 pounds over where you're at right now, by the second week you're struggling because you're approaching 80% of that right off the bat.
Yeah, exactly. And that when you get into the routine after a few cycles of it, a few 3 week cycles of it, I have found that what works best for me is keeping the four sets of four at 70%, roughly the same. You know, I personally, this is what I did. I started at around 500, 515, something like that for my four sets of four. When I got up to 585, it was killing me to do four sets of four and then try and go up to 675, 765, or 800 for two sets of two. So I didn't, when I got the sets and the reps, I just left it. I left the 585 where it was, and I would increase the 80 and the 90% accordingly.
Interesting. What type of accessory lifts do you normally do to help with this deadlift routine, or do you pretty much just deadlift?
You know, when you're done with that routine, you're pretty much shot, but there's a couple good things that I like. I love glute hams. There's nothing like glute hams to bring a deadlift up because there's nothing like it to work the hamstrings from both ends. I just feel I get so much power out of those. Of course, standing on a board and lifting. And then, let's see, what else did I do? I do speed work for my upper body. It's part of my routine. I do a max effort lower body and then speed work for the upper body. So I'll do a log, axle, dumbbell, something like that for six sets of three with 30 seconds rest with about 60% of my max weight. You know, you want to hit it hard, hit it fast. That's almost cardio doing that. And after that, you're pretty much spent. I mean, there's a couple things left maybe you could do. If you feel you got energy, move the weight up.
Do you do cardio with this type of routine? Or, you know, I know you said you haven't been doing it lately, but, you know, is this something you think you would avoid while someone's trying to do this routine?
No, no, no. Like I said, the cardio comes from the clean and press speed work. But I did do cardio with this routine, preparing for some shows, but I never do it on the day I train. I do it on off days. Cardio is a whole thing unto its own.
Gotcha. I'm thinking that covers most of the items regarding the deadlift routine. Is there anything that maybe we've left out, haven't asked you about, or anything like that? Anything you just want to add about it?
Yes. Or even, well, let's even stir the pot, Travis, and jump right into the whole. Understand there's a little unit challenge you'd like to put out there. And everybody loves a controversy, so let's just pile that in there.
Oh, yeah, let's throw the controversy out there. You know, I've been talking with a couple guys. Hopefully, you know, it's in the works. We don't know if it's going to happen or not, but we want to do a unit versus the world. You know, we can do Texas versus the world, but I don't know any other Texans that have the caliber of the unit, the crew. And, you know, I don't mean that in a negative way. I just don't know. I'm ignorant to any really good Texans out there. The unit has produced...
I'll put it out there. There are no other... There is no better group than what's at the unit, as far as Texas goes.
Well, there's
goes,
no better group. That's absolute. But there could be a good guy here or there. We've got, seven pros? You know, you, Bracewell, me, Josh Thigpen, Jim Glassman. Marshall White was an original unit member until he moved. And then who else we got? I mean, that's five guys.
Andy Vincent.
You have Vincent go through there.
Andy Vincent's a unit member. You know, and two of us have been to Worlds. One was an alternate until he tore his pec. That was Jim Glassman. And then Andy Vincent was considered for it last year. You know, that's four guys from one tiny little training complex that are on the, they're viewed on the world stage. And I think no other training group has anything on that. You know, and then I'm going to throw a couple challenges out there. You know, the first being the unit versus any other training group out there. You know, we'll pick half events, they pick half events, whatever. And then I want to get our best four guys together and do unit versus the world and do a team competition where we bring in guys from Iceland and, you know, Norway and, you know, the big Scandinavians and the big Eastern Bloc guys, you know, four guys there. I think we got a heck of a chance, but I think we can beat them.
Now, I can't help but think that some of this has to be geared specifically towards Poundstone and his training crew, or I don't know if you call them training crew, but the guys that train with him up in Connecticut.
You know, it's not intentionally geared towards him, but they're doing pretty well as a group. So, I would throw the challenge down at them. Absolutely.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, I think that pretty much covers everything, Travis. Is there anybody you'd like to thank, you know, or, you know, give a shout-out to, other than the fans, obviously?
Well, there's a couple things I'd like to say. You know, thanks for having me on the show, first off. I really appreciate it, guys. But if there's any amateurs or anybody who's just curious about doing a strongman contest, we have the Republic of Texas Strongest Man at Harley Davidson dealership, on 59 in Kingwood. And it's going to be a fun show. It's all record breakers. I think we have a novice division, teen division, masters division, light heavy, you know, light heavy open. So it's going to be a big show. It's going to be a good time. It's got a good venue and good music, and I think we're going to have some pretty good food out there. So it's, you know, come watch, have a good time. If you got the balls, come and compete.
I know, like I say,
if you think you got it, just go ahead and compete, because there is no better time you will have in your life than competing in strongman. Because the guys that get behind you and stick with you, they're instantly brothers. You know, it is a brotherhood, and once you've done the initiation of doing your contest, you're part of the brotherhood too.
Well, I know both Ryan and myself are going to be out there covering that contest for RX Muscle Live, basically doing a feed right straight through as the results happen. So that's going to be interesting, too, to kind of let all the Texas athletes, and I know that a lot of guys are planning on flying in because it is a record breaker, is trying to get in the record book.
Look,
so,
you know what?
Our first show, so they know the coverage will be there.
2007, and it was just a rinky-dink little thing in the back parking lot, and it has grown by leaps and bounds. It's become quite a show. I think people last year, even when it wasn't a record breaker show, people from around the country were flying in. You know, it's got a lot of prestige. Mm-hmm. You know, and
I know last year we had guys from Utah flying in just to try to compete and set some of the records out there.
Speaking of records, Bryce, well, do you know anything about a record out there?
Yeah. About what?
I'm about to say, speaking of records, Bracewell, you know anybody who's going to try to go for your record you set last year with the deadlift there?
No, nobody's breaking my record out there. That ain't going to happen.
You know, nobody, that was my record first, just to let you know, I own that record first. You may have the bigger record
now. I've already beaten you from when you were an amateur, so it's just a matter of time.
My record, sucker.
It's just a matter of time until I beat your pro records. That's all. It's just going to take, I got a little, you know, you got about 5 years ahead of me.
Well, you can start with a BMW X3 that weighs 1,400 pounds. Give me 3 reps.
Well, Travis, I know that as we wrap up, too, that there were, I know that there were some specific products that we went ahead and put into your prep for World's Strongest Man this year, and I kind of wanted to
to give you a second to go ahead and mention those, because, I mean, they really had a profound effect on what we were able to do, especially given the scenario of the diet with having to counteract the altitude and things like that. These were pretty key.
Yeah, we went with a lot of carbs because the fat takes seven times the oxygen to metabolize and burn and become fuel. So you don't get seven times the oxygen at 5,000-6,000 feet. So we had to go with a different source. But, you know, Labrada makes the absolute best carb drink I have ever seen in my life. It's Power Carb. And I hate to give away my secrets like this, but you know what? That's what Strongman's about. I want to beat you at your best, so I'm going to tell you everything I know. And Power Carb, I feel it instantly. I feel my muscles filling out. I feel the strength coming in. Put a couple of amino acids with it, you know, throughout the workout. You take the Power Carb before, you throw the amino acids to keep you going, and you're going to get a hell of a workout. It's good stuff. It is really good stuff. And the ultimate pre-workout is concrete creatine, man. I took that for the first time after the guys gave me a sample. I came home from the Fit Expo and had the flu, but for some reason I was crazy enough to go and try and train, and I thought I was feeling better, but I ended up tying my personal record on the log press and beating my middle incline bench record by 2 reps with the flu, with this concrete. It's amazing. It's the only creatine that does what creatine said it's supposed to do.
Awesome. Well, Travis, we appreciate you coming on tonight, man. And for those of y'all listening, Travis also has a Q&A section on the RX Muscle Strength section. So if you have any, you know, direct questions for him, you can check him out there. Nathan will also have a Q&A in the strength area as well as myself. So if you have any questions regarding anything we're doing or anything we talked about, you know, you can check that out as well.
Oh, one last thing. You know, Dot Fit's Amino Boost. That stuff, that's the great stuff I take during the workout. That's awesome. So I just need to throw that out there because I can't leave any secrets. I got to let you guys know. But hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. This is it's real pleasure.
Thanks for being here, Travis. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right, later, man.
All right, you guys take it easy. And, Ryan, I'll be seeing your punk ass soon.
I'm sure you will. Actually, I'll see you at your son's birthday this coming weekend.
Goodbye, boys. Goodbye.
A couple things I want to touch on, just because I know that folks are going to be a little curious as far as this isn't the typical kind of show that they're used to. And I want to kind of highlight the fact that it's pretty intentional. As you and I spoke, there's nothing like this out there as far as a resource that people have where they can tune in, take an hour out of the week, and get some sort of useful information that they can take and apply to their own routine, whatever the goals may be in whatever sport they may be in. The whole point of this was that when we have guests on, you and I pretty much let the guests talk. There's not a lot of our interjection. There's not a lot of our own personal opinions in, because it's like you just mentioned with the RX Muscle forums, especially, you know, the strength sports forum, you know, they can ask us those questions as they need to pretty much at their convenience because we're always on there. This is specifically a resource for those guests that come on to be able to share their knowledge with others over the course of that hour. And due to respect to the listeners and to the guests, we purposely pretty much pull ourselves out of the equation and let the guests go so that, you know, it remains all about the guests. So I kind of want to set that up as far as folks understanding, wow, these guys are pretty quiet when they have a guest on. You know, I'd be happy to tell you guys jokes and look at pictures of Larissa Reese or whatever, but we need to do that later or on the forums, because this is for you guys this hour so that you take that knowledge with you for the week.
Definitely. And I wanted to add one thing on top of that is, you know, I mean, we will chime in, and there will be episodes where we will have a, you know, quote unquote, a round table discussion, but it all depends on the guest. And on top of that, for the guys who out there that are not strongmen, we don't want you to feel like this is just a strongman show. Yes, you know, I am a strongman. Yes, Travis is a strongman, and Nathan does a lot of work with strongmen, but we are also, you know, geared towards powerlifting, Olympic lifting, football players that just want to get stronger. It just so happens that we will have strongmen on because, they're strong guys. They have functional strength. But we do plan on having, you know, big-time power lifters on. We have several already in the works. We plan on having guys in specifically about nutritional stuff. You know, next week, we're looking to definitely have on Dion Wessels, who's going to kind of give us a little update as far as what she's expecting to see in the upcoming Nationals for Strongman. It's kind of the biggest show of the year, and kind of talk to us about some of the events and some of the guys coming out.
Right. And I know one of the guys coming out that I'm going to throw out there because, well, he's one of my guys, and I guess that's one of the perks, is Alan Colley, definitely. Yeah, you can put my bet down as far as that. That's my bet for heavyweight for Nationals.
Very good, very good. Well, I guess that's all we have for tonight. So, you know, I just want to thank Travis Ohrmeyer for coming on again. Thank Dave Palumbo and the guys at RX for you know, letting us come on the air. And, you know, I guess I'll talk to you next week, Nathan.
Absolutely, my man. See you then.
All right, later.
RX Power Hour is a presentation of RXMuzzle.com. Tune in next week at the same time for another edition with Ryan Bracewell and Nathan Payton, only on RXMuzzle.com.